Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week at noon Eastern on Tuesday afternoon. I've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady, with us again today. Hello, Rhonda, are you there?
Absolutely, I am here. I am excited, and oh my gosh, all kinds of great things going on here. Excited about our guest today, and always good to connect with you, Gina.
Well, I'm a little concerned because it looked like our guest was here, and I went to unmute her line, and all of a sudden she dropped off of my control panel. So I'm not sure if she's here or not.
Hang on just a second. Let me get her for wait a second. There we go, Diane.
Hi, Rhonda. Hi, Dina.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I got knocked out of the queue there, I think.
That's what happened.
That happened to me while I was recording a show yesterday. I had to call back in, and I was the host. So I was like, oh, dead air. Glad you're here.
Well, Rhonda, why don't you do the honors of introducing Diane to our audience today?
I absolutely will do that, and I am so delighted to bring to you Diane Garris. And Diane Garris is an expert in many things, including law of attraction. She has a book about money and manifesting. She has a number of books and other products. One of the things that she does brilliantly is that she follows her inner guidance, and she allows that greatness to come forth. And she has developed a complete system for healing. She has angel messages that she gets up in the wee dark of the night, probably, as I say, before God's even awake, to take these messages and bring them to people. And I interviewed her quite a while back when her book about money and manifestation came out. And so it's just such a delight to bring you here to talk with us today about all the things that you do with the law of attraction, with bringing out your inner genius and guidance, and all of the many things that you do, Diane. Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101.
Oh, thank you so much, Rhonda. And, yeah, I think we were on about 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, in May or April or May, something like that. Absolutely.
It's been a while, so thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And I see that you have a magazine that's come out.
Yeah, but you know, I did the magazine for a year, and gosh, it's a lot of work. And so what I'm going to do is kind of morph that into a membership site, and you're the first to know that. So that's kind
of breaking news.
Oh, you're funny.
So that'll all happen, I think, March 1st-ish, right around there. I think we'll debut it. We've got it all set up and ready to go.
Well, fantastic.
Let me know about this. That is great.
And so, Rhonda, what are we going to talk about with Diane today? Obviously, Diane is someone who uses relationships to grow her own business.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. But you know what I would love to start with is, Gina, is for Diane to tell us a little bit about her story. And because, Diane, you are quite the interesting character in that you have some very special talents as a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and you can share what all of that means with people. But, you know, one of the things that I really admire about you is the way that you just follow that inner guidance and let it move through you to create great things in your life. So would you tell us a little bit about how you started on that path to discovering that you have some abilities?
Well, I knew about these gifts when I was 4, and did my first professional reading at 15, and you know, it came up in a time where it was not fashionable to be psychic, so you know, I had a period of time where I just kind of tried to avoid it, and actually married a person that told me that this was not acceptable, and you know, you try to stuff it down, and it just didn't work. But eventually, I mean, we just have to be who we are. We have to align with who we are. So clairvoyance is the ability to see into the future. It's like a prophecy kind of a gift. And some of these definitions get a little diluted now as people start coming awake. And I always say God didn't drop us off here on the planet with no way to communicate. So we all have gifts. We all have intuition. We all have, you know, an open line of communication. So anyway, clairvoyance is the ability to see into the future, not just see things. And clairaudience is the ability to hear things, hear clear guidance. Just as, you know, you and I are talking, it's the ability to hear conversations that take place in other realms. And clairsentience is the ability to know things. It's a knowingness. And I'm a voice recognition psychic as well. So that is, the soul is contained in the voice. And I read from the Akashic Records. And when I have a person with me on the phone, I recognize their soul through the voice. And I can go and get their record, their book, if you will. I'm like a librarian. So I just go get that and tell them what they need to know. So really, it's kind of simple.
So you're kind of the psychic librarian who looks up into the knowing that anyone can tap into if you know how, and bring that information back for people.
Yes, exactly, Rhonda. And, you know, basically I think that I just came in knowing how. It wasn't a mystery. And
right.
I think a lot of people just don't know how.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that that's the case. You know, I don't think it's something that that most people can tap into. So you have just that natural ability. And one thing I heard you say that I think is significant is that many of the abilities that you have are not, they're not something that's just alien and unavailable to people, that people can develop that abilities, their openness, their intuition, their connection. Is that right?
Absolutely right, Rhonda. I mean, you know, we come in with kind of earth amnesia, and you know, it's just a matter of becoming awake, just awakening. So as a global consciousness, we're experiencing now this great awakening.
Yes. Okay. And how are people going to be able to use their awakening, their inner knowing, their inner guidance to help us in our businesses? If I think people have a tendency to compartmentalize life and say, this is my home and family part, and this is my business part, you know, and whatever, my educational part. So how might they be able to use intuition and know that you're getting, you know, guidance and use that in your business?
It's interesting. I write a daily channeled message every day for my newsletter subscribers, and it's a free message. And that was kind of the message of today. It was just, you know, we have to get out of ego. That's the thing that's really going to prevent you from hearing your guidance, because, you know, you tune in or you hear a voice or you'll know your guidance, and then there's a tendency to doubt yourself and doubt your guidance, and so you go off in another direction. And it's just a matter of discernment, really, and knowing that you are guided and you're not alone, and very easy to tune into. But you can... You know, we shouldn't just use this for our business. We should use it as a way of living and start living as mind, body, spirit. And, you know, people hear those words. We know we're supposed to do that, live as mind, body, spirit. But how to do it is really challenging for a lot of people because of the perceptions that they have about what they've been taught in life. So that's, you kind of have to get over ourselves.
So you said a couple of different things there, and I'd like to take a look at them one at a time. First off, the last part of people don't always see things clearly because they've got a pattern or a belief that they've already learned that's getting in their way. How does someone get over that? How do you overcome the beliefs that you've got activated within you already?
Yeah, that's a good question, Gina. You know, the first thing is to understand that it's a pattern. And then the next thing is you have to look at whose pattern, who taught it to you, and what's the lesson and what's the reflection. And, you know, basically I can boil it down to one thing. You have to get to the root.
Well, and I see this often myself. A lot of times for people, just recognizing that that belief is there and that it's limiting their thinking is enough for people to step over it. And until they recognize it as being there, they can't even realize that that's what's holding them back.
Exactly. And once you realize it, you can examine it. And when you examine it, and you just kind of follow the thread and say, okay, who taught me that? Why did they teach it to me? What am I supposed to learn? And then I always tell my clients, reduce everything to the bigger picture, because that's where your answers are.
Gotcha. And then the second part that you had talked about was, once you have seen this limiting belief or some underlying fear that's activated within you, then what do you do? How do you move forward with that?
Well, you've got to figure out what the lesson is. And then once you have that, that's very freeing, because you can say, okay, you know, I learned the lesson. I see whose pattern this is. I see why this happened. I see why I do what I do. And then the energy pathway just kind of opens up from there.
So not all of us are born with these psychic abilities that are already tuned on, and we're not always tapped into them. Can someone who isn't tuned in learn to do the types of things that you do?
I believe so. I feel like this gift, the gifts are like, you have to first turn a radio on, and then you tune it into a frequency. And so if you, you know, basically you just have to learn how to turn the appliance on, and you go from there.
Yeah.
Everyone can learn it.
And what's involved with turning it on?
Yeah, it's being willing to do it, not being afraid of it, saying, okay, you know, I really want to connect with guidance. You have to first want to do it. That's the big thing. And then you have to quiet the chatter of the conscious mind, because you can't hear anybody saying anything to you across the crowded room. All you hear is kind of this, you know, collective mumbling, and so you can't really pick it out unless you quiet your mind. And so a lot of people get stuck with, you know, this mind chatter, this incessant, obsessing mind chatter. So you have to quiet that down.
And the obvious question then is, how do you quiet that down?
Yes. Okay, very easy. One way is to, you know, you've got to take some time for yourself. You've got to take, if it's even 10 minutes out of the day, you have to take some time to sit in quiet stillness and breathe. And the breath, you can use breath to connect, you know, all of your chakras and connect yourself up to source. And it's just, it should be really part of the day, where you're taking 10 minutes, quieting it all down and listening and being very, very still.
I know that's really important for me as well. I like to end my day when I'm in Florida, going to the beach sometime between 11 at night and 1 in the morning. I go to the beach for that exact thing, just to spend some time being quiet, listening to the waves. And what a difference there is the next day when I've gone to the beach the night before versus not gone to the beach the night before. It totally changes how my next day evolves.
Exactly.
And the wonderful thing about this is, I know that there may be some people who are going, this is kind of woo-woo and out there and whatever, but really when you look at it, no matter, all over the world, all the various different spiritual paths and various ways of knowing are all going to tell you, take some time, connect with source, you know, connect with your source of power, breathe, relax, and there is really nothing that's woo-woo about it or nothing that's against anyone's religion or anything of that nature, because it's all just about taking that time to connect. And I'm with both of you for in the early in the morning when you wake up and at the end of the day, those are the times your brain is most quiet and receptive anyway. And those would be, don't you imagine, Diana, those would be good times for someone who is not used to being able to calm down and quiet. But maybe those would be the times to kind of practice and get used to it because your brain's already getting either ready for sleep or just coming out of it.
I agree, Rhonda. It's, you know, when you're first waking up and you're in that kind of space between the twilight and the conscious, you know, this conscious reality that we have here, that's a wonderful time. And same when you're going to sleep. Exactly. It's, you know, if you just listen, you'll be able to hear things and receive guidance. It's like a kind of like a dream state. You know, we do get spoken to in our dreams, and we just have to listen. It's like train yourself to remember your dreams kind of a thing. So train yourself that when you first get up in the morning, you're going to quiet everything down and connect the dots.
That's connecting the dots. I like that. You know, it's like before you can even turn on the radio, like you mentioned before, starting by turning it on. Before you can do that, you have to kind of plug it into an outlet, don't you? So you can turn it on all you want, but if you're not plugged in, it's not going to work.
That's a good way to say that, Rhonda. So we all go out, we plug in our radio, then we turn on the dial, and then we go to tune it in. What's involved with tuning in the station so you can hear it clearly? Did we lose Diane?
Did we lose Diane? Did we lose you, or are you still there?
Oh, I think we may have lost her.
I see her, but I don't hear her. Huh.
Yeah, I see her, too.
Let me... She may not...
We see you in the queue, Diane, so she's typing into the text chat. She says, I think I lost you. Am I still in the queue? We do see you there, but for whatever reason, we can't hear you. Here we go. She just came back. Are you there, Diane? Let me see if I can get that unmuted.
Wait a minute. I got it.
Oh, yeah, and I've remuted it. Hold on.
No.
Are you there, Diane?
We're trying, man. It's back to muted. Sorry, Gina, to tell you.
That's okay. I'll try it myself.
There we go,
Diane. Yay!
There! Speaking of being connected and plugged in.
There you go. And now we see you in the queue twice. How strange is that?
That is very, very weird. Yeah. Anyway, well, we're glad, double trouble, I guess, right?
There you go. Before we start running away with this, Rhonda, and we forget to mention how people can find Diane, where should they go to find Diane?
Yes, and my apologies. I was so excited when I was introducing you, I realized a minute ago that I hadn't given your website, so I apologize. People can find you at voiceoftheangels.com is where they are going to find you. And you have so much. Hi, Fritzy. Fritzy says he wants to go there, too. And you have so many wonderful resources for people on that website. And I also just want to mention that you have so many different ways that you serve people. One of them is with your music. And I remember you telling me that one of the songs you have, which I love, is about the hummingbird. And you were telling me that when you first wrote it and played it, and little hummingbird came right over to where you were outside and made a little visit. So I thought that was a really sweet thing to share. You mentioned that to me quite a while back when that happened. So you have this wonderful music. You have the daily channeled message that you bring forth that people can look at. and, you know, various books and so forth. So the way that I perceive it, I think you have about four people's worth of talent.
Oh, geez, thank you.
With all of these luscious gifts that you bring, and, you know, through your music and through your books and your message and your angel cards and all of that. So there are just lots of things that people can discover on voiceoftheangels.com.
Well, thank you. You know, one thing that people don't really understand when they first go there is what is this site about? Everything goes together, and this is what makes it different. It's a kind of multi-dimensional microcosm model for people to use. So every product works on one level, but it also works on multi-levels at the same time, and then every product is interconnected. So, for example, with the music, one of the things that I did was track number 4 always carries over to the next CD, and it connects them. There's a connective thread, and but it's a multi-dimensional journey, and anybody can come in there at any point and kind of resonate with wherever they are on their path, and then kind of work their way through from there. But it takes you to mind-body-spirit connection. My work is integrative, multidimensional healing. And so everything goes together. And I think people don't really realize that. They go and they say, oh, gosh, so many products. And what is this? You know, and it's all interconnected.
Right. So we've been talking about when this whole little disconnection issue happened, Diane, we had been talking about this whole idea of, you know, before you can really turn the radio on and tune in, you have to connect. And you had mentioned doing some breathing and getting yourself relaxed. That's one way to kind of help any person get that sense of connection. And what else is it that people can do because listen, no matter what it is that you're trying to do in your life, to improve your health, to do something for your business, you know, imagine the power that you can have, not of just running around doing everything, but of really taking the space to connect yourself first. So taking some deep breaths, and what else can people do to plug in that little connective switch into the outlet so that we can then turn the radio on and get the signal?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rhonda. You know, one of the things is this. We all have to start realizing that we're all connected, just like the products that I just mentioned. You know, they're all interconnected. They're different, but they're all connected. And so we are different, and we are connected at the same time. One of the things we can do is start to understand the chakra system and what energy is contained in what chakras and how we can use it to our benefit and in life, in business, and elsewhere. For example, the energy of money resides in the root chakra. And the way that the law of attraction was first taught here recently was that we can create things with the power of just our mind. Well, that's not where the power of the thing that you're trying to create lives. So if it's in a root chakra and you're trying to poof it out there with your mind, how are you going to create it? It's virtually impossible to do just by itself. So the goal really is to connect, not just to guidance and source and so forth, but to understand how the chakra system works and connects, and how you can learn to use that power that's contained in the chakras to connect everything up, and then it goes up and out, and that's when it returns as form made manifest. So it's a process. We have to learn it. We're at a place where our relationship with money and business and so on, it's all very distorted. So we have to bring that back into alignment, and we do that by connecting the dots and learning how to do it.
All right.
Okay,
so Gina,
I think we got Fritz finally quieted down, thank goodness.
Oh, okay.
He just loves fucking on the show, doesn't he?
He really does. He was booking there last week. You had been about to ask a question when Fritzy got all excited. And so now since you're finished with Fritzy, what was it that you were starting to ask?
I know, and I've been sitting here for the last 2 minutes trying to remember what question I was going to ask when Fritzy decided to do that.
Okay, well, a little comfortable.
want to know an answer to is, what can people use this great information to do? I mean, can you use this to find the right guy, or is this something that you can only use in a certain way?
Oh, well, it's unlimited, Gina. I mean, you know, once you learn how to live in alignment as mind, body, and spirit, then you realize that you don't have any limitations. So it shifts your whole life. It shifts your paradigm, your personal paradigm, and it helps shift global consciousness. But you have to really understand, and you have to get out of your ego's perceptions in order to live as an integrative unit. And so, yeah, it changes your whole life. In every department.
Well, that's kind of big, and I think that might be hard for some people to wrap their heads around, too.
Yeah, I do, too. So let's help them, let's help people wrap their heads around this whole idea. So as I mentioned very early on in the show, people have a tendency to compartmentalize and separate out, like, your personal life from your business life, from your family life, from your how you are with friends to different types of things. And Diane, what you are talking about is really being integrative and connecting everything. So you've talked about breathing, and you've talked about getting quiet and connecting, and that everything is connected. Well, if someone goes, okay, I would love to have some way to improve my business and to improve all areas of my life where I could sort of, you know, plug into something and get some guidance. I think lots of people want that. They want that, you know. I remember a friend of mine who said, I wish God would come and paint a sign in the sky and show me what I should do. And there, you know, maybe a lot of people who feel similarly to that they want some kind of guidance. And so how are they going to go from this big, to being able to do something really useful and powerful in their life?
Well, you know, God can hit us over the head with something and we wouldn't know if we weren't tuned in. So that's one thing. And then we do also we are taught to sort, compartmentalize, and label. That's what we're taught very young. It's like, you know, so it's deeply imprinted on us to do that. So when we're talking about shifting our lives and our business and what do? You know, I've built tools that help people do that, and they'll get you there. But you have to. I think it's very important to start with the law of attraction, because when we're talking about business, we have to understand that this was taught to people as a way to improve their lives, and it didn't work. So I think, you know, it should be addressed. That I kind of addressed it a little bit there with the energy of the chakras and so on, but if you understand as a basis that where the energy of creation is, okay, the energy of creation is in the root. This is, and the energy of creation is designed to flow up. And so, I mean, just look at nature and so on. Everything has a root system. So the way the law of attraction was taught to people as a tool for changing their lives and business and all their lives is that, okay, we're going to take a cut flower, we're going to put it in the ground, and we're going to water it. And eventually the flower is going to fall off, and the thing is going to die because it has no root. So we have to understand how to get to the root and understand manifesting and creating and co-creating and business and everything as a process. We have to understand it as a process. We don't make a child with the power of our brain. That's not how we do it. Okay? So you can...
not usually.
You have to set your intention. You have to say, okay, I'm receptive of a child, or I want to create a child. and then you engage the root. But this is it's a similar process with just all of manifesting. So those that want to improve their businesses need to understand how the process works and how we align. And so just look at, like I said, like a flower or a plant or a tree is designed to be fed by the root. So it's just kind of a basic place that you need to go and like understand what that is. You can make all manner of vision boards that you want and put all kinds of thought and energy and prayers and supplications on what you want, and it's not going to make it happen. So it's a process, and to improve in your life, in your business, you have to be willing to understand the process and learn how it works.
Okay, so some teachings would say that, that sure, your vision boards and your imagining and planning, that you're wanting to add the emotion into the thoughts of what you want. And is that really it, or is there more to it?
There's more to it. Yeah, it's a great question, Ron, a great question, because, you know, a lot of people believe that if they go and do their passion, that the money will follow. This has been a huge teaching, you know, do your passion and the money follows. And now those people are filing bankruptcy, and they're going, well, what happened? Oh, I did my passion. Well, passion resides in the heart, and the energy of the thing that you're trying to create resides in the root. So you forgot to engage the root. And in order, when I say engage the root, I think I should clarify, you need to get to the root of the belief systems that you were taught regarding money and self-worth and power and value and also the energy of tribe and family and addiction and so forth. A lot of energy resides in the root. So you've got to kind of clear that out, clear a pathway. And in a lot of people, that pathway is blocked, and then they go out and they say, oh, I have lots of passion. But you haven't aligned yourself in the root, so all the passion in the world isn't going to get you where you want to be. And it's the same thing with just trying to engage the power of the mind. Now, in business, I don't think, if you think about this, we're talking about the root chakra. As a culture, men are not taught to keep that root chakra closed. Women are. And so men traditionally, in general, have kind of an innate knowledge of how to, you know, quote unquote, make money. So it's an interesting kind of thing to look at. Women are taught to keep it closed. And so women come to the business table in general, I'm generalizing, okay, without that, ability, that, or with that ability to create innately, kind of blocked, because they've got a lot of concepts of self-worth and so on that are wrapped up in there, and that are kind of distorted and twisted and so on, and it can prevent somebody from creating their life the way they want to. Does that make sense?
I think so. What do you think, Rhonda?
Before we go on, there's a couple of things in there that I think we want to touch on, but let me just give us about a 30-second little, if you will, a station break, and then we will be right back to delve into how self-worth relates to your growing your business. You're listening to Relationship Marketing 101 Radio with your co-hosts, Gina Gaudio-Graves, Dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, and Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com, showing you how to build your business through the power of relationships. All right, we are back, and thank you for that. I'd like to give us a chance to identify the show for people, and we are with Diane Garris of voiceoftheangels.com. And what we were talking about right before the little break is this whole issue of really getting to the root of what's going on with your life and business. And one of the things you talked about is having to do with somebody's self-worth. and value and the lessons and things that people have learned and how that affects you. And for Gina, I know for that you and I and the people that we deal with, a lot of issues folks have are around confidence and being willing to be the expert and being willing to really step up to make their dream happen. Right? So, Diane, how does all of that relate to what's going on in the root energy center?
Yeah, a lot of people were, you know, the way I put it is this way. Not one person came in here knowing anything about money. Nothing. So all of that was taught to you. And so you do have to be willing to learn or to unlearn some of the things that were taught to you. Because we come in certain tribes and with certain people to learn certain lessons, and everything's a reflection, and you know, you'll find yourself mirroring, let's say, you know, your parents' behavior and whatever their attitude was about money and value. You kind of grow up, and that becomes yours, kind of by osmosis, because it's what you were taught, and we learn to resonate with it in order to really basically survive in the tribe. And so, you know, you need to kind of learn to, if life isn't working for you, if business isn't working for you, you need to examine what the belief systems are of the people that you, you know, incarnated with, and how it's affected you, and how it's shaped your perceptions, and how it's shaped your relationships.
Well, I think one of the things that might get confusing for people is this reference that we keep making to connecting to your root. Can we describe that or define that for folks so that they can better understand everything else that we're talking about? What does that mean when you say to connect to the root?
Well, the root is basically just the base of the matter. And so in the chakra system, we have seven chakras that we talk about or that we're concerned with. Obviously, there are more. We have chakras in our hands and feet and way above number seven. But when we're talking about the root chakra, it's just an energy center on the body. And when I'm talking about get to the root of things, I'm talking about examining the patterns. I mean, that's basically it. Examine the patterns. Find out what's in your way. Examine what you've been taught, and at a base level, at a very elementary level. For example, my father was very, very materialistic, bless his soul. But his idea of the way things of success was: I have two Cadillacs that I paid cash for, and I have a house, and I have X, Y, Z, and I, you know, I bought my wife a nice clothes and so on. That was his idea of success. And he did not understand how anybody would, you know, do anything if it wasn't bringing them two Cadillacs and a house and et cetera. I mean, that was his perception. And so that spilled over to family members. And so they grow up and they think, oh, yeah, you know, if I'm not a success unless I have X, Y, Z. And so you have to examine what you were taught, and then you have to kind of go, well, is that my definition of success? Is that my measure of success? Or is it my dad's measure of success? It goes like that. You've got to, if you've got a lot of blocks and you're sitting there and you go, oh, gosh, I don't have two Cadillacs, so I must be a failure. Well, that's in your way, so that has to go. Or I do have two Cadillacs, and I'm just empty. So this is what I'm talking about when getting to the root. You've got to examine it at a very core level.
I think I got that better now.
I'm sorry.
I think I have that better now. So the root's going to change depending upon what you're looking at, right?
Well, you're looking at, when we're talking about root issues, core issues, we're looking at basic issues that, and if we're talking about what's in the root chakra, we're looking at money and tribe and addiction and self-worth and value and so on. So those are the things that are at the root. And so it's not that the root changes. Those energies still, those are the energies that are contained in the root. But you can change them by changing your perception of how things ought to be, and changing, you know, deviating from what you were taught about those particular energies. Make sense?
That does.
You're talking about the root or the core beliefs that anybody has, that any one of us has. And although, I guess they're all sort of tied together, your self-worth, your belief about success, your beliefs about money, some of that comes from whatever you were taught by the people who raised you and by your culture and so forth. So,
exactly.
Diane, then what you're saying is to decide what you're talking about, not necessarily that you have to throw all of that out, but really to be able to look at it and make the decisions about what is going to move you forward or what might be in your way, so that you then can decide what you're going to let go of and what you're going to keep.
Well,
I got that right?
Exactly. And it really has to do with, is this my truth or is it not? Is my, for example, like an example I use with my own father, is my father's truth my truth?
Right.
And it's not. So, I don't need those things to feel successful or to be successful, but he did. And so it becomes a matter of examining at the core level, is this my truth?
Okay, so let's say that you look at something like this example of you with your father, or anyone looks at something and you're going, all right, my parents always said this or did that, or my family believed that, or I understand that I grew up with this belief. I decide that it's not my truth and I do not choose to have it anymore. Now what am I going to do to move toward what I believe is success, or whatever core issue you're looking at?
Yeah, you've got to then go, okay, then what is my truth? And then you move toward that. Because it's one thing to say this is not my truth, but then you have to go, what is my truth? And then you go toward
okay.
that.
Okay, so you're not necessarily accepting. You're saying, if I don't want this, what is it that I do want? And then how are you then building that into a strong and compelling case for really truly moving forward to it? Because a lot of folks will go, okay, well, what I do want is blah, blah, blah. They'll name something, but that still can be too much of a head thing for people at times.
Right, and that gets back to that whole thing that I was talking about before, about the law of attraction. We can't do it with our mind. So the mind, body, and spirit have to learn to work together in an integrated fashion. So we can't just say, oh, well, you know, we set it with our mind. We say, okay, this is not my truth. What is my truth? You start moving toward it. You start connecting with your guidance, and let your guidance kind of show you exactly what way to go. And, and then at every step of the way, you're going to check back in and say, okay, you know, is this my truth? Am I moving toward it? But the goal is not just to do that with your head. The goal is to do it as an integrated unit of mind, body, spirit. Now, I'll give you kind of an example of this. All right, I love shoes. So I have this great passion for shoes. I can go at any time and stop what I'm doing here with Voice of the Angels and go and sell shoes because I have a real passion for it. Well, what's going to happen there is I can't get away from who I am, no matter how hard I try. So eventually, I'm going to be doing toe readings on people, getting information for them from their feet and giving them a reading. Do you see? I can't get away from who I am. None of us can. And so I can choose what I want to do for my living, but I can't get away from who I am at a base level. And this goes for everybody. You have to figure out who you are, what is your truth. My truth happens to be, I'm a psychic, clairvoyant, whatever you want to call it, and that's my truth. And I can't stuff it down, and I can't get away from it. So no matter where I go, there I am. And it's the same for everybody. You have to, but who we are gets really convoluted and distorted depending on our, what kind of tribal situation we incarnated into. So that's why you have to look at it at the root. And I, at the root, I know who I am. So I know I can't run away from it. I could go any place and try to do something else, anything else. I could be a waitress, and I would still all of a sudden be giving readings to people because that's who I am. And I wouldn't even be forcing it. I know that it would just come, you see.
I'm chuckling.
Reading.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm chuckling because I was in a grocery store with friends picking up something for a dessert, and I remember, a couple of people, people will come up to me and tell me anything. I mean, and there's kind of the joke that I have a sign on my forehead that says, tell me anything. People will come and share something of their story with me. There's something about me that provides that safe space for people. It kind of runs in the family, but I seem to have a triple scoop of it compared to my mother or my grandmother, who also had that kind of thing going. And I also have this knack for making a story out of really anything. And so I remember that it was something about the way they had this very strange display, because the store was about to transition to a new location, and they had a display that had pancake syrup and canned vegetables. And I said, oh, so I guess the story here is that the way to get kids to eat vegetables is to put syrup on it, right? And of course, I was kidding, but my friend said, you can make a story out of everything. It's no wonder you're called the story lady. And that's so, it really is who I am. It's not just some moniker I made up to do my online business. It really is an expression of what I'm about as a person.
Exactly. And you can't get away from it. So what you need to do, it's a great example. Then what a person needs to do after they identify who they are is, okay, then how do I create my life from this? How do I create my livelihood from this? Because the thing that a lot of people do is they try to be something that they're not, or something that someone else taught them to be. Then they go off and they're a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, and really they're a musician or so in their heart, you know, not, or in their soul, in their whole being. And so, you know, they try to please others. They try to do what they're supposed to do, what they were taught they were supposed to do. And they get really away from who they are. So you're the story lady. So what you do is you take that and you go, okay, how do I how do I integrate who I am with what I came to do, and how do I then make that form made manifest, and how do I use and have that be, come back to me as money or as whatever it is that you desire. So we do it from who we are. Does that make sense?
I think so.
That's me. Good. Excellent. So, and what if somebody is kind of new in their, we have a lot of folks who listen to our show who are in the early stages of growing a business, and they've maybe known, yes, I've identified this passion that's within me, and I'm working to grow a really good, solid, integrated life and business around this. And so then with that being said, and, with what you've just shared about going from your natural understanding about who you are, how, if somebody isn't sure, well, what am I all about? Like, I know I'm the story lady through and through, no question, no doubt. And people who know me know that. But what if somebody isn't quite sure exactly what so strongly identifies them? How can they tap into that and figure it out?
Well, I think that we all have innate clues as to who we are, and unfortunately we're kind of taught, okay, well, what do you like to do? What you like to do is not necessarily who you are. I mean, I like to do a lot of things, but it's not part of who I am. I mean, it's not who I am, you know what I mean? So it's, you have to figure out who you are from who you are. This is a kind of a hard question because I've always known, and I think I don't know what I would do if I didn't know. I think I would try to strip away everything that had been taught to me and try to identify not only what I have a passion for, because that's not the whole thing, as I shared with you about the shoes. It's not the whole thing.
Right.
You can have a lot of passion for a lot of different things, and it's not who you are. You've got to kind of strip away everything exterior and kind of go inside and go, okay, well, if I'm not a doctor or a lawyer, then who am I? Am I an artist? And then, you know, then examine the belief systems around being an artist. And do you have a belief system that tells you that if you're an artist, you have to be a starving artist, and therefore you're going to spend your life being a doctor or a lawyer? So I think it's a matter of just really examining and kind of getting, again, to the root. We have clues. We do.
Right.
Now, I've always believed that for each person, the answer of what kind of profession you want to be in or what kind of business you want to build really lies in connecting with your passion. One of the things, and I think that what you're talking about here is very similar to that. One of the things that I see from a lot of people is that they aren't quite sure what that means, nor do they understand how to figure it out. What's the process that you recommend people go through to finding out that answer?
Well, it's like I said, it's not just identifying the passion, because, for example, I have a real passion for cooking. And so I'm from restaurant people, and I have a cookbook, Voice of the Angels Intuitive Cooking Cookbook. And so I can say, all right, I have the passion, so I'm going to go make a restaurant. But that's not what I came here to do. So you've got to, the process of doing this is just really getting to the root. You've got to, yes, you have to connect the passion. Yes, you have to connect the mind, just as we were talking before about the law of attraction. But you have to also engage every part of yourself. And so it's kind of a little challenging for me, because I've always known. And like Rhonda, you know you're the story lady. So it's kind of like I just know that it's more than passion. It's more than connecting with the passion. It's more than just connecting the mind with, okay, I think I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. It's alignment. It's integration. It's examining, what did I really come here to do? Everyone came here to do something. And everyone... We get off track. We get distorted from that and from who we are. So it's like you have to figure out who you are. That's at the base of it.
Okay. And so how do you figure that out? Not everyone knows that intuitively.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to strip away everything that anyone ever told you about who you are.
Okay.
That has to go. And then you go... Okay, I could actually probably write, someone probably has written a book on this, actually. I remember a book a long time ago called What Color Is Your Parachute? And then,
oh, I remember that. That's a long time.
Yep.
And it kind of was a workbook, you know. But I think that we've accelerated a little bit from that in our global consciousness. So I think we could kind of get to that a little bit faster by just going, okay, who did people tell me I was? Is that my truth, or is that not my truth? What do I like to do? Certainly that's part of it. What am I good at? What did I like to do as a child? And also go into meditation and go, you know, show me my path. Show me what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do here? You know, did I come here to be a computer programmer? Did I, you know, what did... Who am I? So you've got to examine it. And no one can do it for you. It's a self-examination. So if you don't know, you've got to examine it. And then there's another part of that, too, because you can look at all of your relationships. You can examine your relationships and go, okay, who was I in this relationship? What role did I play here? What pattern did I follow? Look at every single relationship with others, with your parents, with your siblings, with your business associates, with your roommates, you know, everybody. Look at who, what role you played there. And that's going to give you some clues as well.
That helps.
You're becoming, in a way, I'm sorry, Gina, go ahead.
No, I said that helps, right, Linda?
Yeah, that does help. What you're suggesting, Diane, is that to someone, if you're not sure what is not only your passion but your path, to become sort of a detective in your life, looking for the clues, looking for your interactions. Yes, what you love to do is certainly a part of it. I'm sure that you're not going to be here to do, like, I could never say that my path in life and my reason for being here on Earth is to do anything regarding tools, because I have no interest, no native ability whatsoever, and nothing against tools, but I'm not here to be a construction person. You'll start to know from your life the things that you enjoy, the way that you show up with people, the way that you show up in your life. As you start to look at that, you can do a couple of things. I mean, certainly to find out some things about your life, but also earlier, Diane, when we were talking about the whole notion of, you know, going to the root and examining what you learned from other people and getting back to your truth, that it all helps you as you're digging through clues. It will help you go through that as well to really figure out the direction that you should take. So there's that. Those are the things that I've gleaned. Am I miss anything, Diane?
No, Rana, I think you got it. And I think one of the things that gets in people's way is that we tend to be very earthbound, and we tend to look at things from only an earthbound perspective, especially when we're talking about business and so forth. And if we can get to the bigger picture of this and really see that we're not just our body, we're not just here to, you know, be a doctor, lawyer, story lady, or so on. I mean, we're, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, we have to really remember who we are. So we have to get away from the earthbound kind of reality that keeps us stuck and going round and round. And I will say this. I think, you know, it's very important to understand that we came here to this place, this earth, to learn lessons and to grow. And all of those lessons are lessons about love in one way or another. So if you can take everything you're doing, even in your business, and how do you kind of, how you've got to look at the bigger picture of everything. What am I learning here in any interaction? What am I learning? What am I supposed to learn? And when you learn that, the lesson goes away, and you've passed the test, and you graduate, and you move forward. So, you know, it's very, we can call it Earth School. You know, it's just Earth School.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, an Earth School that you can learn from anything. And that's what, I know Gina has shared some stories, and I've shared some stories on various shows, that there are times when you're given some kind of a clue, and it's the question of whether you're learning it or whether you need the next, going from the whisper to the nudge on up to the 2x4 to really get that message.
Exactly.
Linda, how did you meet Diane, or how did you find Diane?
I remember how I was just thinking about that a minute ago, going, yes, I remember that Diane Garris was doing a virtual book tour a couple of years back, and it seems like a practically another lifetime from now, so much happens so quickly these days, and I was one of her blog stops, and we kind of met and became friendly from that, and, you know, kind of kept up with each other a little bit over time. And it's just one of those really great things. I have Diane's music, and I enjoy that. If I ever feel especially, I mean, I like listening to it anyway, but you have music that has a very specific function. So if you need to get yourself realigned, if you need to figure out a pattern, if you need to make a connection, you have music that helps you do all of that. And I find that a very useful tool. Not only is the music delightful to listen to, and by the way, in the show notes I have put in one of your videos that has to do with your chakra balancing so that people can get a sense of what your music is like. And they can, of course, also go to voiceoftheangels.com. But that's one of the things I enjoy. The music is wonderful to listen to. It's great for meditation, and it has specific purposes that are designed into the music that are really very helpful. So I find those to be very useful tools. And have your intuitive cookbook, and we'll pass that around to a few friends, and some of us have our favorite recipes and different things, so you know, we've enjoyed that as well. But I especially like the tools that help you in your own connection and your own development, because it's really is something that you have purposefully put into the music because of the way that you're able to connect. So that's kind of how I met you, and just have continued to enjoy the music. I've given some music to friends or family members who also are enjoying it.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. I should mention that the music is vibrationally attuned. Every note corresponds to a certain chakra, and if we know what notes correspond to which chakras, we can put them together in a song and have them actually move energy. So, and it changes the energy field. So the automatic chakra balance video that you have on your front page of your radio is a technique that I developed to automatically balance the chakras in 10 minutes, because we have a lot of people that don't know what a chakra is, don't care, they think they might know, want to know, but they don't know the first thing to do. So I developed this technique where it's relaxation, 10 minutes, and it automatically balances the field, and you don't have to do anything, and it uses music and visuals. And but all of the music, the CDs, it's a series, and it starts off vibrating to the first chakra, but it also works on the other chakras at the same time, because everything's all connected. So that's the music series. And I should mention my CD 8 just made it into the list of the top 100 recordings of 2009, which is a nice list to be in. And
wow.
That CD charted at number 4, I believe. So yeah, and you know, I do get a lot of airplay on the cable TV station soundscapes. They play me a lot. So
yeah, oh, that's right. I heard some of your music on soundscapes. I was listening to it one time, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, funny. Well, it all goes together. It's all for a purpose, and it's vibrationally attuned. So you don't have to, you know, basically what I've done is just kind of taken the work aspect out of meditating or out of chakra balance, so that you have tools that help you, and you don't really have to, you know, spend years studying. And there's another thing I need to say about the chakra tones. You know, we were taught, for example, that, you know, the middle C vibrated to the first chakra and so on up the scale. Well, those tones have changed frequencies as we have shifted and transformed in our global mass consciousness. The tones that open the chakras have changed slightly. And I noticed that when in 2005, when I started the series, and I started using the, you know, what I had been taught, what the information that I had been taught about what chakras opened, what notes opened what chakras, and I was told by my angels and guides that nope, that's not right anymore, and you know, it didn't even sound right to my ear. So I changed all that, and so the music vibrates at a very different frequency than what has been traditionally taught. And I put that, you know, it's interesting because you can notice the difference with the tones, I have a chakra balance certification course that's available on my website, voiceangels.com, and it's a 4-week distance learning course, and at the end you get a certification. It's an accredited course by 2 accrediting bodies. But anyway, the point is that in that course, I made 2 MP3s. One is the old way of tone, the tones, the old tones, and then the new tones. And it's interesting when you have people taking the course, they find that the old tones sound flat to them or discordant. So we have shifted, you know, the things that we're vibrating to have shifted.
Interesting. So we're going to just take another quick station break, and I'll let folks know we're listening to Diane Garris with voiceoftheangels.com, and we'll be right back just a second. You're listening to Relationship Marketing 101 Radio with your co-hosts, Gina Gaudio-Graves, Dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, and Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com, showing you how to build your business through the power of relationships. All right, we're back, and glad to have you.
Now's a good time to mention where people can find Diane's website again.
Yep, Diane Garris, you can find her at voiceoftheangels.com. And Diane, you're also on Twitter and Facebook and all of those places, and you're Voice of the Angels pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. YouTube, you know, which is great. So you look on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, you know, and use Voice of the Angels, and you will be able to find Diane Garris and her work with Voice of the Angels as well as voiceoftheangels.com. And so let's move into, Gina, what do you think about moving into some talk of business and relationship marketing and how you can use that guidance and everything to build relationships with people?
I think that's a great idea, Rhonda.
All right. So let's do that, because we have folks who we've talked a lot about personally reconnecting and figuring yourself out, which is great. So now we're going to start to taking care of business here. And so, Diane, as somebody is, we're dealing with people who are building your own business, and some of them would be transitioning from working regular jobs and building their own and various things. But we have people all over the world who are starting on a new endeavor where they're beginning to figure out not just their passion, but their profitable passion and their path, and starting to grow their business. And what would be some things that that you have learned about business from your own guidance and from your own experience that you want to share with people?
Yeah, one of the big things, Rhonda, is for people to understand, especially those that are just, you know, maybe kind of got shocked out of their environment where they lost their job or so on. You've got to really focus. You've got to kind of reorganize your priorities. And you have to believe that you're going to make it. And you have to have faith that you're going to make it. Everything, when you are in alignment with your purpose, everything just falls into place. Nothing is supposed to be a huge, horrible struggle, although it can be. But you can kind of tell if you're going in the wrong direction, if, you know, you're meeting with roadblocks every step of the way. That's kind of a clue from your guidance that, okay, you know, try something different. I know a lot of people are afraid to take risks. You know, take in this environment a calculated risk. You know, do your homework. Do the research. But kind of make your own schedule. You know, it's you've got to have faith in what you're doing. And everything happens for a reason. If you lost your job, there's a reason for it. And open yourself up to the universe's plan rather than your own plan. In other words, you can have a plan. You should have a plan. But don't be afraid to kind of deviate from that or flow with anything that comes along from guidance, because there's always a reason for that as well.
Okay, cool. So you definitely, it's interesting. You're talking about both having a plan and going with the flow. Some people would see those as mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
we can,
well, if
we,
I have it, they,
a good comment, Rhonda.
Well, they
we
do,
can,
but it's true. People do. Yeah.
We can have all the plans we want, but not doesn't mean that they're going to work out. So you can have a framework. You know, for example, anytime I start writing a song, I have an idea, but then again, I'm hearing it in my head. And so then I'm just going to bring it back here. Or every time I sit down and write the daily channel message, I have a plan. I think I'm going to write about this topic. And then all of a sudden here comes guidance, and the message is a totally different thing than what I thought. Now, if I wasn't willing to flow with that, then the daily channel message would just be all about what I thought I ought to talk about. It wouldn't be aligned with guidance. So I can have a general idea, but then I'm willing to flow with whatever comes along.
Okay, so you're saying that you can both have a plan and also go with the flow, because as you have your plan, you might still get some guidance that brings you in a certain direction. So, Gina, have you seen that kind of thing operating in your life and business?
Absolutely.
Having a plan and have a flow?
Absolutely. And in my students, too, I really see them struggling, usually, when they're first learning about this concept. People usually do things the wrong way, in that they usually start with, let's take my first step, and then let's go figure out what that goal is and worry about it later. Where what I teach is that you've got to do it in the reverse order. It starts with the goal, and then you work your way backwards to figure out the plan.
Well, you know, I have a little story about this because, and Rhonda, you love a story, right?
So of course, always.
You know, back in 1993 or 1994, whenever I started with the angel cards, my guidance said to me, you know, close the jewelry business and make these cards. And I said, oh, come on, you got to be kidding, right? But I did it, and my plan was that I had this guided meditation that was channeled to me, and my plan was, okay, I'm going to make these cards. And that was part of guidance. So anyway, I made them, and the angel cards are all scenes from that guided meditation. And then I thought my plan was, great, I'll just go get these published. And because I'm a visionary mystic, so I have the vision of the future. And so I thought, okay, you know, who wouldn't want these channeled messages with angels and co-creating? And mind you, this is 1993. And four, I think, when I got done, 94. And I got laughed out of publishing. Well, my plan was such a great plan. I made a business plan. I had a book proposal. I did my homework, and I couldn't get them published. And I thought, what in the world? What is wrong with my plan? Well, my plan was to make guided meditations and decks of cards. That was my plan. That's what I thought I was supposed to do. That's what I thought my life was about. And here I had this first deck, and I couldn't even get those published. And so I thought, well, there goes my plan. Well, if I had, and you have to understand, there weren't any other cards with channeled messages at that time. These were considered pretty wacky. I have on the box a co-creation by Diane Garris and the Angels, also very wacky. I mean, people were saying, what in the world is co-creating? And you know, you're a nut, and, you know, go away. So I just thought, I don't get it. So if I had followed my plan and enforced the energy and just kept making decks of cards and meditations, I wouldn't have built what I built today, which is the spiritual toolbox. I wouldn't have built that. God had a much bigger plan than my plan. And so you have to, we were talking in the beginning about aligning mind, body, spirit. The mind and body can do whatever they want because we have free will. So I could have forced the energy. We can force the energy anywhere along the line if that's what we want to do. But that might not be in alignment with your life's purpose. My life's purpose was to bring the tools of the spiritual toolbox to this planet. But my plan was to make decks of angel cards and meditations. Do you see the difference?
Sure. So I think I'm getting what you're talking about is that you had a plan, you had a goal, and you had kind of mapped everything out. But yet you ended up expanding that based on information and guidance and feedback that you were getting along the way, that you kind of expanded that. Is that right?
Well, my plan was quite different, you see, and quite limiting. And so we can have maybe a blueprint, we can have a sketchy idea, we can have even a well-developed idea, but we have to be willing to... See, I could have just said anywhere along the line, no, I'm not building this spiritual toolbox. I'm going to make decks of cards and meditation, period. That's my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Never did I have to say, okay, I'm going to go make the spiritual toolbox. I didn't have to do that. But, you know, often plans, guidance from spirit is given to us in little bites, in little pieces. So we don't really, I didn't really know. I didn't say, oh, God didn't say to me, well, go make the spiritual toolbox. God said to me, do this next single thing. And I was willing to do it. And so, you know, it just the plan was so much bigger than I could have ever imagined. So when we have a plan, I think my point is that we can really limit ourselves if we don't allow for not only expansion, but for guidance to come in. And guidance, certainly, Providence certainly has a bigger plan than we could ever imagine. That doesn't just go for me. It's for everybody.
Great. Well,
go ahead, Rhonda.
How have you found, as you're moving along through developing your spiritual toolkit, and how have you found that you're connecting with other people, not just people who would be your customers, but how is it that you're getting the word out about the things that you do? I see that you're on all of the social networks, as I mentioned before, your Voice of the Angels on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and all of those kinds of things. So how are you using the relationships that you're developing to grow your business?
Well, you know, the Internet gave us such a great tool for a connection. And we can connect. Our technology that we've developed gives us so much more choice in the way we connect. And so, you know, you have to take the tools that you have there and use them. So the Internet's a great tool. I've met, just like you, Rhonda, I've met wonderful people along the way. And so, you know, use it because it's there, it's easy, it's free, and you do it. But I will say, I've been working at this for 5 years now. So it's, you know, it takes a lot of time to get yourself everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's necessary to do. And you make...
Gee, you mean it just doesn't... burst up overnight like people wish it would?
Somebody just sent me the Chinese bamboo thing, and if you don't know about it, you should watch that video because it's a man goes out and plants some seeds, and he waters them every day for 5 years, and for 4 years, and he goes out and he's watering and tending and nothing, and people are laughing at him and so forth. And he keeps on watering. And then the fifth year, up sprouts this little bamboo shoot. And within a very short period of time, these things grow to be 90 feet tall. So you have to have faith in what you're doing, and you have to tend to things, even if you kind of get dejected along the way. I mean, you have to just keep, you have to have persistence. And this is my fifth year, so I'm waiting for the 90-foot bamboo shoots.
Yes, absolutely. And what you're talking about, you know, Gina, with your students that you can think of, I know people I've worked with, it's really there is some time and tending involved in anything. And it's true in growing relationships, too. You can't just expect out of the blue to walk up to somebody who is really well-known and necessarily get their attention if you just are out of the blue and you haven't done any kind of planning or preparation and you're not tending things. So business doesn't just spring out of the mind of Zeus or whatever and fully form into what you need.
Well, you know, I think
tell me there's no magic bullet, ladies.
Yeah. We've become, as a culture, we've become extremely impatient, but that we're not, you know, a lot of people are not willing to do the work. There's a sense of entitlement in a lot of people, but a lot of people are willing to do the work, but then, you know, they get discouraged and dejected and they quit. And, you know, if you're what you're doing is in alignment with your purpose, then it's going to work, and you just have to keep on watering the seeds, you know. And but yeah, you know, we've become an instant society. We want it now, and you know, that's part of that is because of our technology. And as the world speeds up and as our technology speeds up, we have a tendency, time is speeding up. So we have a tendency to want it all now, but that's not the way energy works here, you know, so we can't force energy.
It would be so nice if it did work that way, though, wouldn't it?
Indeed. Indeed.
Seems like it would make things easier in a lot of respects. So, Diane, for you, you mentioned you have a membership site that's coming up, and what will be the benefit to people when you have your site, your membership site together?
Yeah, we're, instead of doing the membership site instead of the magazine, and the reason is because I decided that people kind of like their content delivered in different format than just, you know, a quarterly magazine. So we're going to have videos and audio and different ways of delivering fresh content that's, you know, exciting content as well. So and the other thing I'm going to do is going to try to bring in some other expert authors and so forth. And so it should be really good. But we're going to try to launch March 1st, and we'll see. We're getting there.
Excellent. So you're going to be doing some of your teaching, and I think as you're talking about the power of relationships would definitely help in that site, having some of other authors and teachers that would be involved in it as well.
Yeah, and you know, I do a Dear Diane column where you can get free spiritual advice, and we're going to roll that into the membership site as well. And I've got an upcoming teleclass over at the Wing Academy of Unfoldment. That's Diane Wing's Ning. It's the Wing Academy of Unfoldment. And so teleclass there and so forth. So it's all going to go together, you know. It's a way of taking what I'm doing and kind of making it into a more cohesive kind of all-inclusive package.
Very cool. Now, if someone wanted to get started using everything that they've learned today, where should they start?
Always at the root. Always at the root. you know, always. I mean, because you can't, without the root system and without the root and the core knowledge of everything, you know, you don't have any direction. So otherwise you're just kind of out there going just from your mind or just from your passion. And that's where people get off the trail. If you start at the root, you're going to build a root system, and that root system is going to nourish what you're doing.
Do you happen to have a course or anything that could help walk people through all of the steps that we talked about today?
Absolutely. I have my accredited chakra balance certification course, and that is available on my website, voiceoftheangels.com. That is a 4-week accredited learning, distance learning course. It does have some one-on-one with me as well. And it's not just about chakra balance. What it does is it's a course to bring you in alignment, in alignment with your purpose. It's going to increase your intuition. It's going to change the course of your life because it shifts your energy. You become aligned, and it teaches you to live as mind, body, spirit.
And where do they find that?
That's on voicetheangels.com, and it's the Chakra Balance Certification Course.
Fantastic. Chakra Balance Certification Course at voiceoftheangels.com. And angels, just so everybody knows, is ANGELS.com.
Yes. Thank you.
Marvelous.
Good.
And shoot me that link to the bamboo video, and I'll put that in the blog post that goes with our show notes, Diane. It's been so awesome.
Oh, thank you so much.
What do we have coming up for folks next week, Rhonda?
Well, we have some fantastic guests coming up, and next week is going to be Eric Stafford, the Faster Webmaster, and he is really good about building e-business, making things easy. He's an excellent teacher, which I appreciate about him so much. He is absolutely awesome. And then the following week, we have Barry Plasko, who is a viral marketing rabbi.
Wow.
I mean, it's interesting history that he has. He is a rabbi, and he's in Jerusalem, and he's a business consultant and does a lot with viral marketing. He has a new site called successbug.com, in which I'm one of the faculty, along with Jay Conrad Levinson and Rick Raddatz and some others. So he will be there. And we have the Buzz Boosters, Shahar and Nash Wayayan. They're a mother and daughter team, and they are talking all about buzz. That's coming up on March 2nd. And, we have my linking power form, Vincent Wright, coming at the end of March. And then we have Emma, that person that I don't know how to say her last name that you had referred to me. She'll be here in March as well. So we've got all kinds of terrific people coming up to help you with different aspects of making things simple and growing, getting buzz out there and viral marketing and all kinds of things.
Well, you know, the first time I met Eric Stafford was back at a JV Alert, maybe 2 to 2.5 years ago. And when I met him, the really neat thing about Eric was he got started with a hot seat at JV Alert. And that
hot seat was
the day that he first started talking about his plan for the Faster Webmaster. So that was kind of really neat to be able to help him in crafting what the Faster Webmaster was all about and watch it over the next year or two really grow and blossom and watch Eric really take off. So I'm looking forward to next week's show in a big way. I didn't get to see Eric this time. I don't know why he wasn't at JV Alert this weekend, but I'll have to pick on him a little bit for that next week when he's on our show. We'll be back at noon Eastern again next day, as we are each week here for Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, you can find us in the Directions University Forum at directionsu.com/forum. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/JVQueen, and Rhonda's at twitter.com/The Story Lady, right, Rhonda?
You bet.
Good. So we hope you'll all be back next week for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Diane, thank you so much for being here and sharing all this great information with everyone. It's really neat to see people who teach the same thing that we teach, but use different words to teach it. Everybody connects with different messages, so that's been really cool. We really appreciate having you here. And don't forget, voiceoftheangels.com.
Thank you so much, both of you, Rhonda and Gina. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome talking to you again, Diane. Thank you so much, and thank everybody for listening. Can't wait to hear you again.
We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody, and have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.